Well, we're all looking for something to celebrate at the moment, aren't we? Many of us are struggling in different ways, some in very significant ways, and we're horrified by what's going on in Ukraine. And for some of us, Mothering Sunday gives us something to celebrate, though for others of us, Mother's Day in particular, can add to the pain for different reasons, personal to each one. So we need something to celebrate, and that's why we're coming to Romans 5 for the next two Sundays. These are some of my favourite verses in the Bible. They contain realities that I know I need to hear again and again. And they were also preached at a conference I was at recently, which I found really encouraging. So I thought I would share some of that with you. But the main reason they're a celebration is that where they fit in Romans. Hopefully one day we'll work our way through Romans. But for the time being, let me give you just a quick overview of the first few chapters. So in chapters 1 to 3 of Romans, Paul sets out the human problem, the human condition, that we all sin, we turn away from God. And because of our sin, each of us faces the wrath of God, the right anger and punishment against sin. Then at the end of chapter 3, he sets out God's wonderful solution. We've looked at it a number of times over the years. Verse 21, it's on page 1130 if you want to see it. But verse 21, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We sin, we are unrighteous, as Paul puts it, but God has provided another righteousness, a righteousness from outside of ourselves. That righteousness is Jesus. He is perfectly righteous, and yet he died as a sacrifice in our place, so that through faith we are justified, that is, declared to be righteous in God's sight. It's a legal word. God is the judge in the heavenly courtroom who declares us to be righteous, sinless, without fault. In chapter 4, Paul explains that all of this is through faith. And even faith is a gift from God. It's not a work, something we contribute. So our salvation is a gift from start to finish. In the second half of chapter 5, he goes on to start talking about some of the consequences of all of this for our Christian lives. But in these first 11 verses of chapter 5, it's like he hits the pause button. He says, okay, let's stop. Let's see where we've got to. Let's have an all up. And let's celebrate what all of this means for us. And we need to be doing that, don't we? I know I do. I'm a bit of an activist. You might have noticed that about me. I like to be doing stuff. But I'm learning I need to pause and give thanks and celebrate and worship. And actually doing that enables me to keep serving and not to shrivel up. So over these next 2 weeks, let's pause with Paul and celebrate. Celebrate what justification by faith, what Christ's righteousness given to us means for believers. And you may have noticed as the passage was read, a few key words. So the word peace, the word boast or rejoice, and the word hope. Those are some of the consequences of our justification. And we're going to think today about peace and rejoicing or boasting, and then next week we'll focus on hope. Now, of course, peace follows war. So our first point is the war is over, so celebrate. The war is over, so celebrate. We've all seen photos of the end of World War II, haven't we? The celebrations in London, in New York, around the world. We've also more recently seen videos of women in Ukraine, mothers, wives, crying about the deaths of their loved ones. And we can only imagine what celebrations there will be when the war in Ukraine comes to an end. But in Romans 1 to 3, Paul has said there's an even greater war, the greatest war of all, the war between God and human sin. And we were caught up in that because we were sinners under the wrath of God, going our own way. So in verse 10 of the reading, Paul says, we were God's enemies. We were hostile forces. And this connects with what he says in the book of Colossians, where he says, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. We were opposed to God in our minds and our lives. And so he was opposed to us because that opposition inevitably results in judgment. We were enemies of God in the greatest war of all. But now, because of God's love, because of what Christ has done, and through faith, Christians have been justified, declared righteous. And so says Paul, verse 1, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, peace which has been brought about through Jesus and his work for us. The war is over. There's been an outbreak of peace. There's no more hostility between God and those who trust in Christ. Why? Well, because Christ has borne all the wrath, all the hostility in himself on the cross. It's all gone for those trusting in him. The hostility on God's side is all removed forever. In fact, we don't just have peace. You can have peace, can't you, without any kind of relationship. You can imagine that when there is eventually peace between Ukraine and Russia, there's not going to be much relationship. But we do have a relationship. In verse 10, we see that we were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus. We are friends. In fact, in Romans 8, we read that we are sons and daughters. God's love to us in Christ has transformed us from enemies of God to friends and children of God at peace with him forever. And there's more. Verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I love this image. I imagine myself standing in a lush meadow, in a field. You picture that for yourself? And the field is filled with grace. We're standing in grace. Now, of course, grace isn't a thing. It's a relationship. It's Jesus giving himself to us, giving all the blessings and privileges of being united to him. And it's like a field in which we stand. The blessings keep coming. The relationship keeps giving. Now, maybe some of us aren't feeling blessed at the moment. Some of us will be feeling far from it. And we'll think more about that next week as we look at verses 3 to 5 and the theme of hope. But even this image gives us encouragement for what we're going through, doesn't it? Think of yourself through faith, through Christ, standing in a field of grace, surrounded by grace. Everywhere you look is grace. This is the unseen reality, says Paul. God's grace is with you and sustains you in the darkness and the difficulty. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he talks about a difficulty that he was having that he calls his thorn in the flesh. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the field of grace that you're standing in, it's enough to sustain you and bring you through whatever trials you may be facing at the moment. Or think of it the other way around. Just because you're facing trials at the moment doesn't mean you're not standing in grace. You're still in his field of grace. And nothing can stop him showering you with blessings according to his wisdom and love. And then Paul goes on. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. The old NIV translates that word rejoice. this version translates it boast, and that's because both of them are there. Both of those meanings are there. It's the idea of rejoicing in, boasting in, taking pride in, glorying in. And what do we boast in? The hope of the glory of God. We rejoice that we belong to God and we will see God as he is in all his perfection, and we'll experience him and we'll be one with him. And part of this boasting is that we ourselves will be restored. We have been restored. Living in a sinful, broken world surrounded by sinful people, our sense of dignity and significance can be crushed, can't it? We can feel worthless. But Paul's saying, as we enjoy and share in the glory of God, both now and forever, we are restored. Our dignity is returned to us. We know our value as God's image bearers. Imagine a family where both of the parents are falsely accused and the children are separated from the parents and isolated. Their sense of worth and dignity is gone. But then wonderfully, the parents are vindicated, the family are brought back together, and the children know who they are. They know their value and their worth. That's what we have to look forward to. It's what we experience now because of what Christ has done. So why should we celebrate in spite of all we're faced with? Because the greatest war is over. Because we are no longer enemies of God. We have peace with God. Even more than that, we are reconciled to God, his friends, his children. Because we stand in grace, because we boast in God and the glory of God and the dignity that restores us. John Stott wrote, "The major mark of justified believers is joy in God." There is so much to celebrate. And let's just pause for a moment and wallow in what we've heard. I encourage us to keep doing that through the week. But second, the war is over, so remember. Remember. Life is hard, isn't it? We're inconsistent, we're up and down, we're complicated, we're tempted, we sin, we have stuff from our past that we're ashamed of, things that we've done, things that have been done to us. And the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He tells us lies. In fact, that's all that he can do. He's got no other power. So we easily forget the war is over. I don't know if you heard about the Japanese soldier who was fighting in the jungle, or was hiding in the jungle in one of the islands on the Pacific when the war ended. And he heard that the war had ended, but he didn't believe it. He just kept on hiding in the jungle for years and years after the end of World War II. We can be like that. We can feel like we're still enemies with God. We feel inadequate, we feel condemned, we feel like we've failed. And in our own strength, we are inadequate, we have failed, but we've forgotten this glorious truth. The war is over. We have peace with God. We've been reconciled to God. We're his sons and daughters. So when we doubt, when we despair, when we feel condemned, we need to remember. I love verses 6 to 8. Verse 6, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die." Saying that very few people would die for someone else. Maybe, just maybe, the good person in verse 7, who's possibly a benefactor. If you have a benefactor, someone who's looked after you, you might just be willing to die for them. But compare our love with God's love, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. I need to come back to it regularly. Why? Because I so easily forget God's love for me. And I so easily think that I've messed up again, I've failed. But no, we were enemies of God, under God's wrath, at war with God, and at that point Christ died for us. He died in our place. We are justified, declared righteous. He knew everything about me, the worst of me. He knew what I would do. There's nothing about me he doesn't know, past, present, and future. And so with you. And yet, he died for me. He died for you. As that song goes, when we did our very worst, Christ did his very best, and he died for all of us. We need to remember that constantly, don't we? I know I do. The speaker at the conference said, God looks us in the eye and he says, for Jesus' sake, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. We need to remember that. A large part of the Christian life is preaching the gospel to ourselves. If you want to see an example of that, look at Psalm 42, where the psalmist speaks to himself of truth. So let's preach this to ourselves regularly, daily, hourly. So if you remember that children's chorus, at the cross of Jesus, pardon is complete, love and justice mingle, truth and mercy meet, though my sins condemn me. And you can replace sins with guilt, shame, suffering, darkness, depression. Though my sins condemn me, Jesus died instead. There is full forgiveness in the blood he shed. The war is over, so remember. And then thirdly, briefly, the war is over, so live in grace-filled community. This is something I've been thinking about quite a lot recently. It's again, I'm sure it's something we'll be hearing more about in the future, but let me give us a taster now. When we know the war's over, it has huge knock-on effects for us as individuals and as a community. If we have peace with God, if we stand in his grace, if our shame and guilt has been dealt with, if everything has been covered by Christ's love, and if we know God loves us completely, that'll change the way we relate to others, it'll change the way that we present ourselves to others. So in terms of how we relate to others, we'll treat others with love and grace and honor and thanksgiving. And I have to say, we do that more and more at the Anlaby churches, praise God. We know God has treated us like that. We've received love, grace, and honor, all undeserved. And so we'll treat others in the same way. And second, we can be open and honest about ourselves. We can talk about our difficulties and our struggles, our temptations and sins. We can acknowledge our needs. We can ask people to pray for us. And we can do all of that because we don't need to hide anymore. If God loves us and accepts us, if the war is over, it doesn't matter what other people think of us. We can be honest. In short, we can be a community of grace where there's no pretense, no competition, there's openness and honesty and love and vulnerability. That might scare some of us, but let me ask you, is there anything in your life, in your character that frustrates you, anything that you wish God might change? Well, how's he going to do that? One of the big ways he'll do it is through the love and care and prayer of others. And on the handout, I'd have included on the appendix some words by Ray Ortland. He was the person speaking at the conference, as it happens. And those words, I think, give a picture of what this grace-filled community might look like when there's gospel and safety and time. And I'd encourage you to have a read of that. There's also a podcast that I mentioned at the bottom of the handout that I've been helped by recently. So this Mothering Sunday, whatever our current circumstances, we do have lots to celebrate. Maybe you're here with us today and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. I hope that today you're thinking, well, why not? What's stopping me? And the answer is nothing. Nothing's stopping you. You can come to Jesus today, ask him to forgive you, ask him to give you peace with God, to make you stand in his grace, to end the war. And he will. Come and speak to me. I'd love to talk to you about how that can happen, or talk to someone else that you trust. And for you and for the rest of us, let's celebrate and let's remember and let's be a community of grace, because the war is over. Well, let's just reflect on those things as I prepare the communion table.